Job has just finished his defense against his accusers, who, though they're not formally in court, yet they were all part of the legal profession, and had indicted Job, or alleged that his testimony was false, that the reason he was going through all the troubles he was going through was because of sin in his life that was unconfessed. And all he had to do was confess. All he had to do was confess those sins, and God would restore him to his former condition, his good condition. How many know that circumstances are not an indication of your standing with God? Circumstances are not, you know, troubles in your life or good things or bad things. They really are not an accurate picture of how God sees you. God does not look at you according to your goodness or your badness. He knows that you're made out of dust, and he knows all your temptations and sin. So God is not surprised because he already knows everything. He knew it before he even created mankind. So God is not he's not dealing with us according to our sins. If he did, we'd all be dead. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, so we'd all be dead. So the fact that you're alive indicates that you have a God that loves you, a God that cares for you, a God that chooses not to punish you for your sins. You have never been punished for your sins. Now, he does chasten us to teach us something. And what he's teaching us is not how if we try real hard it will become good. What he's teaching us is if you try real hard, you will not only not become good, you will become worse. No, you will. For example, if you try to say, okay, I'm going to really get up early, praise the Lord, I'm going to love people today, I'm going to be kind all day long, and so on, it'll be your worst day. The more you try to behave yourself, the more wicked you become. Now, some people become wicked openly, but a lot of people hide it. They actually do look kind of nice. Those are the most treacherous kind of people. Those are the treacherous kind of people. So, I'll prove everything I'm going to say in a minute, but God doesn't want you to be nice. He wants you to be dead. All right. I'm going to get another one. Here we go. God wants us to know this, that all men are full of license. All men... No. Sorry. Let's see. This is my right hand. All men are full of license. You probably can't even see this, but I have misspelled license, and now I spelled it right. And that basically means we're lawless. Lawless. We don't fear God. We just do our own thing. So everybody in the world starts out this way. Everybody. Everybody starts out this way. Amen? Everybody, every little child is selfish. They just want to take care of themselves. And then we grow out of that. So we grow out of that. Because that's what parents do. They spank you and so on and so forth. And then you become legalistic. That is, we become liars or hypocrites. So now you can either be wicked or you can be a hypocrite. And that's it. Those are the two choices. So God, in his holiness, comes down and reveals to us, and if he doesn't reveal this, because just natural law will teach you this. Natural law teaches you, don't be bad, be good. I mean, everybody knows that. Don't be bad, be good. How many have tried to be good? You know, that's just natural. And even so, you might have to admit that you're still bad. How many are still bad even though you tried? You tried. Okay. So, but other people are hypocrites and liars, and they're actually just legalistically looking nice. All right, nice. They seem to be nice. They seem to be nice. But actually, though they don't seem nasty, they're still nasty. And so, too, is actually one disguised. And so the holiness of God, God is holy, the holiness of God condemns license, which is being outwardly nasty, and also, even more, he hates nice people that don't look nasty, even though they're behaving nice, they're actually inwardly nasty. That's called hypocrite. So those are liars. In other words, we're pretending. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Everybody who's nice is actually nasty, but just pretending to be nice in order to get along. Now, the problem with that is God. People actually like it when you're nice. And they don't like it when you're nasty. But you're actually nasty. So if you're going to get married or get close to somebody, you really don't have a choice. You really only have nasty. And then, so you got to marry somebody who's really blind and slow-witted. And these are hard to find. These are hard people to find. Who won't take vengeance on you and pay you back. I'm telling you, it is hard. It is hard. You have to marry somebody completely an idiot. I think a few of you found one. You know, you found an idiot to marry. But sooner or later, even the idiots catch you. You know, I may be slow and dumb, but I'm catching on, you know. So here's the picture. The picture, now this is from God's point of view. From God's point of view, everybody's a one. He doesn't even see a two. He calls twos liars. Now, here's how he says it in the Bible. Now, this will help you if you get a hold of this. One is a sinner. Two is an exceeding sinner. Remember Paul said, prior to the law coming, that's 2,500 years into the world, prior to the law, 2,500 years, God didn't even have a law. It was written on your heart, yeah, but he never like had a Moses thing where he came down and actually said, now this is what I was meaning. I got it. Don't covet. But actually, everybody knew that in the first place. You know, when you covet, you just know it's wrong. But until somebody points it out, you didn't know that you knew. Like when you hit somebody, you just know it's wrong. But because we know how to justify ourselves, we can pretend like, no, he deserved that. And then you can justify it. Did you see how that worked? In other words, even if you're bodily licentious, you know, it's kind of an animal type person. And every once in a while, that comes out. But for the most part, this is more like body, and this is more like soul. So this is how I develop myself, that I just say kind of like a hypocrite, like a mask. You wear a mask. I'll draw a little mask here. In other words, this is not really you. This is really you up here. You know. You know, this is really you. Nasty. But the hypocrite can put a big smile on his face because he's a hypocrite and a liar. So masks often hide what I really am. So that people don't know who I am until, you know, time has gone on and experience. And then I find out I'm actually married to someone who doesn't love me, doesn't care for me, doesn't like me, is totally into themselves. And no matter how much I do for them, they still don't appreciate me. Hello? 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 Is there anyone there? So actually, all of us are nasty, and we marry nasty people. So there's two nasties. That's double nasty. Now, when you do that, and one person is pretending more than the other, it doesn't matter, because pretty soon the one that's actually nasty will bring out the actually nasty out of the pretending nasty person. You know, I mean, they're pretending like they're not nasty, but they actually are. And so even though one person is the nice person in the relationship and the other person is not, the one that is pretending like they're nice actually will get nasty because the nasty person's staying nasty. And that makes the nice person no longer nice, but they get nasty at the nasty person that deserves for nasty back. Do y'all see how that works? So marriage counseling is a lot of fun, because basically you're dealing with hypocrites and liars, or people that really are bestial. So, you know, there's not a lot of choosing. And it's fun to get everybody even, so that everybody is on the same level. Because it's so easy for you to judge other people and think to yourself, well, thank God, I'm not as bad as he is. Or, God, what's wrong with you? These are fun things to say. We're just play acting when we say that. That's kind of fun to distract from the nastiness that's in us. And I love to play. I love it when Peggy gets nasty. It's rare, but she does. She'd do it. And I love that because it kind of evens it out, and I get to play the good guy for once. I just love it. And I love to, you know, show a little bit of, like, my God, woman. You know? What has come over you? And I don't know that. It's just fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm an actor. I don't know if any of you are actors. But you hardly ever see the real me. Even though I say I'm nasty, you actually don't know how nasty nasty is. But Peggy knows. You don't think that's funny? Well, but anyway, so when you get into an intimate situation, like in a family, people just say stuff. They just come right out with it, and they don't guard it. Now, out in public, we try to mask, but in private, we just kind of put it out there. So people don't like that, and some people try for 20 or 30 years to hold it back, put a little Jesus on it, some nice religion, some morals, and they can kind of pretend like they're really not evil. Anybody know, has anybody ever met anyone like that? That it actually looks like they really do love Jesus, and they actually are Christians, and they're actually decent. Well, that's a lie. There is no such person. None. Isn't that awful? You're not. I can tell you're kind of fading on me there. Okay. Now, I'm just pointing out what the Bible does. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It puts us all in category one. Only what you don't understand is category two is actually the worst case of category one. Now, those are the only two possibilities under natural law, which means if you're a natural person, by your reason and your moral conscience, so by reason, human reason, and by moral conscience, which everybody has one. Everybody has one of these. They have a moral conscience and they have reason. Everybody's got that. It's kind of built in. Is it your ROM or whatever it is? It's built in. So that's natural. And what you discover if you're a reasonable person is that you're not. That's what you discover. That all reasonable people in the end are irrational. In other words, that's just an illusion. Like men consider themselves reasonable. that's just a game. It's totally play acting. Is totally just pretending. And then women will often pretend like they have morals. Like they're, you know, how could you do that? It's just a game. It's completely a game. But anyway, so we'll pretend like we're reasonable and moral, when actually we're irrational and totally immoral. Hello? Did I reach anybody? Did I get past the front row? I didn't get past the front row? Peg, you're in the only one in the front row. You said yes? Ha, you're wrong. This woman is irrational, immoral, no good. But the worst part of it, she doesn't know it. But she says it, but she doesn't really believe it. You know, it's intellectual. She's totally saying it intellectually because I just said it was that way and gave some scriptures, and so she buys that. But actually, the truth is, emotionally, she's still irrational. I'll tell you, it's fun being married to me. I'm telling you, it is fun. We have fun times. Now, here's the thing. I believe the Bible literally. When the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, I think that God means that. I literally believe all have sinned. But we would interpret that as saying some have sinned more. But God doesn't look at it that way. He actually thinks we're all even. We're all equal. He actually thinks you're not superior to anybody else. You're just playing a game. And the reason why Moses came was not to give you a law so you'd do better. He gave you the law so you'd realize that you're worse than anybody else you've ever met. You're more devious, more nasty, more hypocritical, more, you don't love God, and so on. So the reason that the law came, the only reason the law came, was to make sin more sinful. In other words, two more one. So that people begin to realize there's only lawless people, there's only licentious people, there's only evil people, and all legalism is just a lie. It's just hypocrisy. So that's why the New Testament doesn't spend a lot of time on the Ten Commandments. The Old Testament makes the Ten Commandments a big thing. Don't do this, don't do that, stop doing this, stop doing that. If you do that again, I'll whip you, and so on. That's the Old Testament. New Testament is, don't be a hypocrite. In other words, the Old Testament's related to one, and the New Testament is related to two. Or, to put it this way, God in the Old Testament, you see His holiness, but in the New Testament, you see that His holiness also hates and always has hated, and even in the Old Testament, He hates those that are just outwardly looking like they're Christians and lying about it, because they're not. Now you say, where are you going? Well, let's start where I want to start. I want to start with everybody's evil. Amen? Okay, I have quite a few right now. Quite a few. I'm getting more. Yes. It's almost 100%. It's almost 100%. Okay, very good. Now we're all even. Now we're all even. We're all on the same plane. Is nobody is worse than you. So say it. I am the worst. Yeah, which actually means you're just even with everybody else. Okay? Nobody is better than I, and nobody is worse than I. Now that comes as a shock to some of you, that there's nobody that you could really look down on, and no one can look down on you, because we're all even. Now that I'm telling you, that relaxes me. When I realize you are as evil as I am, I feel more relaxed. I feel just really, really at home. I just feel at home, totally at home. And that's one of the reasons why my marriage works great. Because I know that even though I'm married to a hypocrite and a liar, I know that Peggy is exactly as evil as me. Whereas I'm completely open. There's no hide in me. I don't have any hide. I don't have any mask. I just come right out, and if Peggy will say, do you realize what you're doing? No, what? that's just play acting on my part. What? Huh? I love that. Don't you love that? I mean, that is a cool line. For someone that's accusing me, I feel that she's playing a game. But I'll play right along with it. What? Huh? And then she'll say something. You did thus and so. And that's just pure play acting when she does that. You just did thus and so. It's as though she hadn't. But I know she's lying. So I go, instead of attacking her, that's one game you could play. But here's a better game. Peg, are you mad at me for that? Yes. You don't even know the half of it. You're mad over that? You don't even know what I was really thinking. That's nothing even compared to what I was thinking. I was closer to where you really are. Now, I get all this out of the Bible. You can have more fun with the Bible than people that don't have one. Because the Bible tells you the truth that sets you free. You see, why the marriage can work is because there's no unevenness. In other words, one person can't judge the other. And even though Peg plays the game, I've taught her, Peg, what you're doing is a game. And she's learned. Yes, and I like it. So she's learned. And so that's her nasty self come out. So just while she's judging me, she also has to, you know, think about this. Peg, with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. Now, even though you wanted me to go to hell, you have to go to hell because you judged me. Yeah, but you're laughing at me. Yeah, but you're judging me for laughing at you. You see, so in the end, you cannot ever get away. Did you all follow that? There is no way to win because we're all nasty. We're all critical. We're all judgmental. We're all selfish. We're all, you know, we need help because we don't have any ability to help ourselves. Do you feel helpless? I mean, just try to be a two. It's hell. It's hell. It's easier to be a one. You just kind of do what's naturally. No, really, I'm serious. It's just easier to be a one because you don't have to work at it. But two takes a lot of sweat. I'm telling you, it's difficult to try to be decent and reliable and, you know, worthy and so on. It's just difficult to play God. That's basically what God wants, is be holy like I'm holy. It's like too high. For me, it's like, you know, I see it coming, I just go, no contest. Jim, I want you to try a little harder. Sorry, Satan. Nice try. I know that wasn't God saying that, because God doesn't want me to try harder. He just wants to expose me, make me naked. Hey, Jim, you are filthy. You are no good. You are a hypocrite and a liar and a cheat and a thief and so on. And I readily agree with that, because it saves a lot of time. So when Peggy goes to attack me, you can ask her if I do this. I just immediately strip. I just immediately go, it's nothing. What you've just said is nothing. I mean, I'm 100 billion times worse than what you just said. You have no idea what I'm really thinking. What? You know, look, I don't mind telling you. I don't think you want to hear. It doesn't bother me to tell you. But, you know, I'll have to put up with your guff for days and months on end as though you weren't. You know, and there's no point in, you know, stripping her back. Cause it just, you know, she'll just defend herself anyway. It's just game playing. But she'll get it in heaven because in heaven all truth comes out. How many know down on the earth here we're just duking it out? When you get to heaven, God's got the old hammer. And so, you know, I might as well, you know, surrender now. That's my idea. Hey, God, the evil, me. Now what? It's like, what do I do now? You going to shoot me here or give me an hour or what? And so God has introduced a new concept, a new idea. And this is really neat because that's all that natural man knows. There is a third thing. Neither license nor legalism, but love. There's a new idea right there. Love. I love that. Now, when it's first introduced, it's 3A. And 3A goes like this. God loves you. God is love. You don't love God. All have sinned and fallen short. You're a two pretending to be a one, or you're just a flat-out one. Now, A is if you believe in Jesus by faith that he's forgiven you through his mercy, then your spirit has been transformed. So now I'm spiritually reborn, and I am a Christian. I am a lover. I'm like God just because I believed in Jesus. So that faith where he gives me his mercy, he shed his blood for me, changes my spirit, and now I'm perfect. So that was all through mercy. So now God, through his mercy, taught me something. Not the holy part of God, but the mercy part of God. Okay? Now, I like that. And if we would stop right here, we would have 99.999 churches in this area and all over the world. So most Christians just stop right here. And this is called imputed righteousness. You don't actually have it. It's just said by God because he wants to. So God, because you believed, he imputes to you, he accounts to you. He just simply puts it on the books. That you are righteous even though you're not. Now, even though you're not righteous, because you're a one and a two by nature, still, if you believe Jesus died for you and covered that through his blood, all of it, the sin and the exceeding sin. This is just regular, simple sin. This is exceeding sin. But if you believe that Jesus died for those two things, which are really one, then you are imputed to be righteous. So that's real simple. All you got to do is believe in Jesus. So I believe that Jesus on this cross, this is the actual cross, we got it. We've had it quite a while. And I believe that right here, that my debt, he died for me. My debt is canceled, paid in full, Calvary, by the blood of Jesus, our risen King. And I like thinking on that. Wow, thank you, Jesus. You put that crown on your head, I don't want that one. And you take this nail, and you get it in your hands and feet, and I go free. Woo! I mean, that to me, that's good news. Can everybody hear that? That is good news. Good news. Woo-hoo! No more law upstairs there, one and two. Now I'm down on the gospel level, the gospel mercy level. Oh, I like that. So now, I don't want you to be inspired today. I want you to memorize this, learn this, because it's very, very interesting. Now, most Christians stop with 3A. Now, if I write down A, that means there's a B. Okay, so now, B is something else. And I drew a line to show you that. B is not faith, but faith active, doing something, because otherwise it isn't faith. Faith that doesn't do anything isn't faith. So you can't stop here like the churches do. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But here, it's not faith, it's actually character. It's character. Where God wants me to actually, really, not just imputedly, not just because he says I am, but actually be holy. Actually be righteous. Actual righteous. Actual right. Okay? Now this takes power. The power of the Holy Spirit. So here's the Father, holy, condemning me. Here's the Son, merciful, forgiving me, imputing to me. And here's the Holy Spirit actually changing me from glory to glory. He's changing me. So he's changing me so that this is my soul, not my spirit. My spirit's already perfect right here. Here's my spirit, perfect. Now my soul is being changed, and so I'm actually becoming what he said I was up here. Just by faith in Jesus, I'm counted righteous even though I'm not. But now, the more I'm hanging out with him and beholding him, I'm actually being changed, really, and you can see in my marriage and in my life that my soul is actually becoming more like Jesus. And so, that's Christian growth. You see, this is justification, this is sanctification. Now, then there's another one, C. It's not faith in the spirit, it's not character in the soul, but it's actually conduct, a walk, outward, everybody can see it, actual righteousness again. Actual righteous. I mean, were you really, 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 actually, truly like God in your body? Not just your soul wanting to be a Christian, not just your spirit believing that you're a Christian, but actually doing it. You're actually doing it. You're not believing, you're not wanting, you're doing. All through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the holiness of God, plus the mercy of God, plus the power of God, works together to make me just like Jesus. So, The purpose of this was not to improve me, but was to cause me to repent and admit and just say, God, I'm no good. I'm a one. You cannot go from two to three. You have to go from two back to one to three. You can't go from one lawless to two and then go to three. You actually have to admit, no, I lied here. I'm still this selfish, nasty, lawless, wicked, God-hating person, people-hating person. And so it can take a lifetime to kind of get back there, but some people never make it. And so we help out here. Now, when you go all the way back to sinner, remember Jesus said, I came not for the righteous, that is those hypocrites that are liars and pretending like they're righteous, but I came for the sinner. This is the group I came for, these number one type people. So you actually have to go from two back to one and admit that you never were a two in the first place. You were the little engine that could, but you didn't. You just said you did. You just pretended you did. You actually didn't. And I would rather be married to one of these than one of these. But this is the one I married. And she would rather be married to one of these rather than one of these, but that's the one she married. Because you see, opposites attract. I don't know if anybody of you, if you have these fortunate kind of marriages like this. This is very good because you help each other. You see, you irritate one another. I mean, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a legalistic, lying, hypocritical person. That's what I married. He's a liar. A liar. Peg, just say what you feel. And she hates to just come out. Just say it. What? No, Peg. Just say it. But then if she does, she can't judge me. So that's a problem with that. So once she gets nasty, I laugh. I just love it when she gets as nasty as me. I love that. Because that just puts us right on the same level. And Peggy just hates that. You've brought out my worst side. Did you have another side? Do you have another side? Is there another side? Because all I have is a worst side. And that's what worst side people do to people with pretending nice sides. Are y'all following me? I mean, you can go to a psychiatrist if you want, but it'll cost you money. It's free. I don't even charge. Now, the whole problem with the church today, I'm a prophet. I'm not a pastor now. Skip the pastor part. Skip the apostle thing. I'm a prophet. The whole problem in the church today is this legalism, which the purpose for which Moses came was to expose you, not to improve you. The only reason for the law was to condemn you and kill you. Isn't that funny? Because what people do with all this is they actually try to stay alive so that they become a 3A but never a 3B. I mean, the churches today, all the Bible churches, Baptist churches, Catholic church, all of them, faith teaching, they're all trying to keep people 3As, never become a 3B. I'll tell you why. You want to know the secret? Why? 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 Why do people not want to be 3Bs? I'll tell you why. Because to get there, you have to go through fire. Suffering. He learned obedience through what he suffered. Huh. You can do this where Jesus suffers, but here you suffer. Take up your cross. See, I like it where Jesus takes up his cross. But now I got to take up my cross. And I won't have a self left. Where will my self be? Where will my personality be, my persona, myself, me. I tell you, that's one of the things in a marriage, you don't get to keep yourself. See, Peggy was always in on, what are you thinking right now? Peg, you're invading my person space. You know, like, let's say I'd get a letter. It would have my name clearly written on it. She'd open it up. You know, that is an invasion of my personal space. And I'll tell you, that would burn me up. Boy, I'd get burned up over that. Here's one part where I was right. And I'd grab it away. Pick! Look at this name right here. Jim. Are you Jim? This is written by the United States government stamp. You cannot open this. I don't even have a life. You're in on everything. She's just trampling over everything. Demolishing me. Emasculating me. I'm hardly anything. She's just using me. It's just play acting. It's just play acting. Hello, it's just play acting. But I remember one day when God said to me, he said, "It's Peggy's birthday coming up. I want you to give her something." Okay, what? You know, maybe a plant or, you know, something. Something I can just go out and buy in about 5 minutes and get that over with. He said, "I want you to give her this, that from now on, whenever she says," because this really irritates me. I mean, it irritates me. "What are you thinking right now?" I hate that. I hate that psychological stuff. What am I thinking? I'm thinking you're an idiot for asking me what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. I don't want you to know what I'm thinking. Why, you trying to hide something? Ugh, it just makes me so mad. Well, anyway, so God said, you know, whenever she asks what you're feeling or what you're thinking or what you want or whatever, just tell her. I didn't want to. I wouldn't even have a person left. I wouldn't even be me. What little me I had, I was hanging on to it. You all understand? So what God's doing, the same kind of thing that Peggy's doing, he's trying to gobble up and eat up all myself. I won't have a persona left. Who am I? I was dwindling down to a mere nothing. It was bad enough she wouldn't feed me. Now she was eating up what little I had left. This is real stuff. It really works. This is why your marriage isn't going to work unless you do it this way. You better get down to the bottom on it. So I said, "Okay, Peg, for your birthday, I'm going to, from now on, whenever you ask what I'm thinking or what I feel or what I want, even though I don't want to answer it, I'm going to answer it. You just, all you do is say it. You have total control over me." That's dead. That's dead. I'm dead. Did you see that? I'm telling you, my guts just... Ah! I had nothing left now. So it gave me a clue as to the way God feels like, "Jim, I don't want you to be Jim. I want you to be my Jim, the one I use the way I want. You know, I my wind blows where it wills, and you won't have a will of your own." Man, I was a big-time will person. Because I'm a one. Ones always know what they want. They always know what they think, and they always know what they feel. They're no guessing. If I'd ask Peggy a two, "Well, Peg, what do you feel?" She'd say, "Well, what am I supposed to feel?" That's what she would say. Well, how would I know? I asked you, what do you feel? "I don't know. What should I feel?" I just said, don't say that. Just say what you feel. She wouldn't do it. Because for her, as she grew up, she was damned if she didn't, damned if she didn't. Whatever she felt was going to be wrong. See, for me, I don't care. I just feel whatever I feel. I hate you. I'll kill you. That's the way I'm expressive. But she never expressed herself. She buried everything. You understand? She stuffed it. If she felt mad at me, she couldn't tell me, because that would be complaining. And she determined, "I will not complain. I will submit to my husband." That was a kind of a funny thing. She had that idea. "I will submit. My mother didn't submit to my father, but I will submit." So that was a little trick she played on herself. So I would say to her, "Peg, where do you want to go tonight?" "Wherever you want." See, that's a lie. That's a lie right there. So I go, "Well, no, Ben, where would you like to go? Just say where you'd like to go." "Well, you'll probably say no if I do." "Yeah, I know, but just say it." "I know, but just say it. Just say where you'd like to go." "I really don't care. Just wherever you want to go." "Well, Peg, don't you have any feelings or thoughts or desires or anything? Just say it." "I don't know. I'll just go wherever you want to go. It'll be fine." "Okay, McDonald's." "No!" she would say. I say, see, you're a liar. You actually had a place. No, I don't. I'll just go wherever you say. McDonald's. No. So you realize there's no person at home here. You see? She's not playing. Anyway, here's my point. Is that unless God changes you, you cannot change yourself. You can't. The harder you try, the more awful it's going to be. Because twos are always miserable. Always. And they're not happy unless they're miserable. Because they can never do their own thing. Because they can't have a person. You see, a two is pretending like Jesus is first, other people are second, and myself is last. But I found that Peggy actually was lying about that. She wasn't putting me first. I wouldn't even ask her. Now, Peg, is it you're putting me first, right? I mean, you're only thinking of me, right? Then it would catch her, you see. So then she'd have to say, well, no, I'm not putting you first. Oh, then you're going to hell. Because you said you are good. You're no good. You're nasty like I am. See, do you see what I'm... Hello! I know I'm losing some of you. You're getting caught up in the I love Peggy thing. Forget Peggy. She's a monster. She's a monster. She totally deserves me. And I believe I was handpicked by God. and she's perfect for me because I hate the way that she's like that. I hate that. I like real people. So anyway, that's the way it ends up. You just do that. Yeah. She said we would have killed each other if she had ever been real. I love it. I love it. I love that. I love that. So anyway, here's the thing is, you cannot even know who you are. You think there's good and bad. There's only bad. There's only bad. Peggy's bad, I'm bad, we're all bad. Bad, bad, bad. Now God, however, he's good. That's why he said, don't eat of the tree. That's why he said, don't eat of the tree. In other words, don't you dare try to figure out what's good and bad because you don't know. Even when you call bad, bad, and good, good, I say that your good is bad. So you don't know what good is, and you don't know what bad is. I know. You have to come to me. You can't eat of that tree. Come to me. Now, lovers, because God is love, first of all, start out with faith. That's spiritual rebirth. But then they have to develop their character as through fire. I'll tell you, what's good about our marriage is the fire that I added to it. I'll tell you what a blessing it was, Peggy, tell him. No, look at the sincerity on her face. It was a blessing. Did you all hear that?
I didn't think so at the time, but I now
have got one. Amen. Did you hear that, everybody? See, you're all wrong. You're wrong. Oh, you're wrong. and her legalism turned out to be a great blessing for me because I just wanted to kill those kind of people. You know, so that turned out to be a great blessing because the one thing I can't stand is a hypocrite and a liar. It's like, just say it. Why do you have to pretend all this phony baloney stuff that you're better than I am? So just, you know, I already said I'm no good. There's no contest on that one. Amen? Are you hearing me? Now I'm going to tell you another secret. Another secret. God only loves one. He does not love two. Though God is love, he hates two. He's love, but he hates two. Did you all hear what I said? Now, why does he only love one? Because I'll tell you something. If you're loved because you're a two, you don't know if you're loved. But when you've been your worst, when you've gotten down to the fact that, you know, I don't know anything. I don't even know what I'm doing. When you've gotten down to the fact that, you know what, I am an evil person. I can't imagine anyone even living with me. You know what, I don't even like myself. You know, when you get down to that, that's the first time you understand the love of God that says, no, I love you, number one, just the way you are, not cleaned up, not fixed up, not trying, not pretending, not phony, not lying, just right there. That's the one I died for. I came not for sinners. No, he came only for sinners. said, I came not for the righteous. I didn't come for number twos. I came for number ones. So the gospel isn't even understood today, even though churches teach it all the time. It's empty, because what they're really afraid of is they thought that you go from one to two. That's what churches are trying to do, is get people that are licentious to curb it. Learn to curb it. And a lot of young people here in town, they go to these big churches here. There's one down the street. And they just go to meet other singles. Don't go for Jesus. There are actually people that have come to this church, and they know it's great teaching, but they would rather go to a church where there's more young people, or more people their own age, or more singles, or whatever, so they can get mates. They're not after Jesus, they're after mates. Because they think if you go to a church like this, it's dead. I could name some people, but I won't. And I think it's amusing to me. Okay, well, go for it. See what you can find. Because it's not going to work. You can go there where there's, you know, 1,000 young people or something. It's not going to help. They're all as messed up as you are because they went for the same stupid reason. They didn't go to hear truth and get killed. They went to live and find health and wealth and good marriage and, you know, Starbucks and all this stuff. That's why they went. Here you just get nothing but Jesus. Nothing interesting at all. I love it. I love it. You people are the most abuse-proof people I've ever met. You're just like Peg. You're just like Peg. That's why I married her. I knew with all of her hypocrisy and lies, I knew this is a girl that can take a lot of guff. She can take a lot of stuff, and I got a lot of that. So I want to marry somebody that will never, ever leave me no matter what, because I can be anything I want to be, and she'll be true blue. Hello! Now, the amazing thing is that she would, you know, like someone like me. That is amazing to me. She has no brains. She has no brains. Nick, are you like that? Tell him, Judy. Okay. Nick, I thought you were a fellow, you know, just two peas in a pod here. You're just like me. Isn't that awful? Everybody's like me. It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. But that's the truth. And that'll set you free. Stop pretending, playing. Church is the biggest hypocrisy place on earth. Should be the one place where you actually can be yourself and know that God loves you just as you are. You're not loved here because you're good. We don't have any good people. We don't have any. We only have nasty people here. That's the ones we love. The church is made up of sinners that have been justified. Now I'm going to give you a scripture. You always have to have a scripture. God justifies the ungodly. One. You have to be ungodly to be a member of this church. Other churches are trying to either get godly people in the first place or get them to be godly. We don't want that. We want you to let Jesus be your only godliness, your only goodness, your only hope, joy, peace, everything. It's all in Jesus. You just got to believe that. Because you're not going to experience it first. You just have to believe it. So I said, well, maybe if I go there, it'll rub off. It won't. All you do is become critical. Oh. So we don't have anything to offer except that Jesus loves sinners. And I really believe I've been blessed. I really do. I don't think many ministers, Norma, have sinners like I do. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not talking about you, but I mean the rest of the row here. Because God only loves sinners. Did you know that? That's good news. You know why? Because you are. Now stop playing that game. You don't need to fix up. Let Jesus do all the changing. You see, the holiness exposes you, the mercy forgives you and covers you, and the power changes you. What'd you do? None of the above. You did none of the above. You didn't do anything. This is the Jewish problem. I'm telling you, he's changing the Jewish people. You know why? Because they still haven't even gotten to number two being worse than number one. The Jewish people still today have to repent and go back and be number ones. Oh, believe me, the Muslims are going to help them. I'm telling you, the Muslims are going to help them because they're putting the pressure on them. The Muslims I mean, they're big time twos. You want to meet twos? Muslims. I know those Muslim people are actually ones, but they're pretending like they're twos. Religious and all this stuff. But under the table, filthy. I mean, abominable. And the Jewish people are also pretending like they're good people on the surface, and now they've met their match, cousins. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man, it's awful. And so the Jewish people are going through this furnace because there's more of the cousins than there are of the people that are cousined. In other words, the Jews are just a handful of people. But the Muslims, I mean, there are a billion of them. It's asked a very interesting question. Could anyone answer it? Because it's such a simple question. Wrong. The furnace does two things. If you're a two, it causes you to be a one. Because when you get that fire going, ow! Your bad side will come out. Got it! You know, your bad side will come out. So that's one thing the furnace does. The same fire that convicts me and exposes me is the same fire that purifies me and perfects me. So, no, it doesn't make you a one. It actually could make you a three. What if you are a one, it'll make you a three. But if you are a two, it'll make you a one. So it does both. And you could do it all at once. You could be a two going back to a one and becoming a three. I think that would be a good fire. So God has cooked up a fire for Israel to help her, which is a definite hypocrite too, going back to a rotten, nasty, not worth anything. That's why the Europeans don't even like them anymore. Europeans don't even like them. Did you know that? Europe's turned its back on the Jewish people. They used to buy tomatoes. They did. They used to buy oranges. They're not buying them anymore. And Israel is getting, she doesn't have any friends now. She has no friends. Only America and us Christians. We're it, the lovers. Of course, fortunately, we're just lovers in name. We're not really lovers A, B, C. We're just lovers A. We believe in Jesus. That's the part that irritates them. That's the part that irritates them. You're not really Christians. You don't even have any conduct. They don't even look like Jesus. Last time we killed Jesus, he said, Father, forgive them. We try to kill you and you kill us first. So they can tell we're not at all like Jesus. We're not. None of us are wanting to lay our lives down for Jewish people. Hello! That's why I invited you all to come next month. Let's go to Israel. Because bad things could happen during that time. Woohoo! We had cancellations like galore. But Peg and I are going. And David. It's going to be cool. How many are going? Woohoo! It's good. I'll tell you, it's going to be a great blessing. Tel Aviv leveled, you know, Haifa blown out of the place. But we're not going there. We're going to go to the sites. We'll go to the sites, look back every once in a while. Yeah, there goes Tel Aviv. Well, praise the Lord. It's all prophecy. Now, it's not a joke, but it just shows you that the father that loves the son chastens him, strips him. That's a fire not to destroy Israel, but to save her. The same fire that destroys your flesh rescues your soul and your spirit so that you can have a new body. The whole purpose of 3A is to get you to 3B, and after you're dead, to live through you for 3C. So this new life in Christ, where you're actually led by the Holy Spirit, not just wanting to be a Christian here, not just believing in Christ here, not believing, not wanting, but doing the will of God, actually, really, truly showing, demonstrating to the world that you are born again, that you are filled with the Spirit. This is what God always had in mind right here. He wants you to be just like Christ in every way. Now, how many of you are praying night and day, God, make me like Christ? I don't want to have a self anymore. I don't want to run my life anymore. I want you to be everything. I want me to be nothing. You live through me. How many are praying that? Amen. Well, thank God you're praying that, because it's going to happen. It's already happening. The more you pray that, that's what you're going to become, like Christ. You'll be a lover because you won't care about yourself. You can love others only when you don't care about yourself. If you're preserving your own life, you lose it. He that would keep his life loses it. But if you lose your life, if you get rid of it, 3B, then you find it. Isn't that amazing? Do you actually, if I love Peggy, listen carefully, if I love Peggy, not more than myself, but as myself. In other words, every time I love her, I'm taking care of myself. Isn't that interesting how God kind of rigged that thing? That if I take care of her, I'm actually taking care of me. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but he cherishes and nourishes it. Even so, a man should love his wife as himself. Isn't that interesting? That is a very interesting idea. If I take care of Peggy, I'll be blessed. If I give away, I gain. Whereas if I try to keep myself and don't let her read my letters and my thoughts and everything, I'll lose myself. You see what I'm saying? I learned that. I learned that if I love Peggy, take care of Peggy, I don't have a self left. She could just walk all over me, decimate me, use me, exploit me. Best thing ever happens. Isn't that great? You guys getting this? Are you guys all getting this? Love your wife, you've actually loved yourself. Lose your life, you find it. See, because most guys hang on to a little hunting or a little beer drinking or whatever. Most guys have their own independent lives from their wives. Wife is a trinket. She's a satellite, a sideshow. Hello? Is that too raw? I hit it. Didn't I hit it right on the button? Yeah. I did. I knew I did. I knew I hit it right on the butt. No, guys, your whole purpose in life is to bless your wife. Isn't that amazing? That's Jesus. Jesus came down not to take care of himself, not to go on a hunting trip, not to shoot guns, not to have fun, not to drink beer. He came down to bless his wife. He threw away his whole life. He just threw it away. And God said, well done. You did well. You did right. And Jesus is happy because he gave everything to his wife. Oh, I tell you what marriages we'd have if men would give up their lives and bless their wives. Isn't that powerful? Did you all hear me? Okay, how many men do we have? How many men do we have that are ready? Pastor Jim, you can count on me. I'm going to take care of my wife first, second, third. I'm just going to take care of my wife from now on. I'm going to bless her. Okay, let's see a show of hands. Okay, there's all the liars and hypocrites. Now let's get the real ones. All right. Now, how many are going to just live for your wife? Let's see on this side. I didn't see too many on this side. Let's see here. Amen. Praise God. Another liar. Yes. No, that's good. That's good. It's good to expose yourself like that. Because the minute you make that commitment, the wife will be watching you day and night. No, you didn't do that. Look at you said you're right there. You said that, Pastor Jim, right in front of the whole church. I'll tell you, that's the way my wife is. She'll get these tapes, not because she's benefiting, only so she can point out what I said and then show me that I didn't mean it.
I'm not going to say it. He did take me out last night for my birthday, but my birthday's next Friday.
Yeah.
I've been on a Friday, and I don't know how long.
Right.
He's going hunting.
Yeah. That is cool. Amen. But he's not hunting for himself. He's hunting for you.
Spring hunting. There you go.
It'll be a blessing. But at least he took you out. That's better than, you know, forgetting totally.
It's not our wedding anniversary like it usually is for our friends that he goes
with. Yeah. Well, he's changing, though. It's imperceptible, but he's changing. It's imperceptible. Little by little. No. Look, no guys are any good. Just get that down. No girls are any good. Get that down. It's okay. Jesus is good, and he created us. Now he's redeeming us, and now he's transforming us by the Holy Spirit. Holiness, mercy, power, until he restores you. Now, it's not your doing. It's his doing. He restores you not to Job's original condition, not to Israel's original condition. No. He's restoring you to his original purpose, that you would be like Christ, that you would have heaven on earth. Your marriage should be heaven on earth, not in talk, not wanting it to be, not just believing it could be, but actual. Now, that's why churches don't want to do this, because you'd have to go through affliction. Most people feel I've had enough already. How many problems have you had so far? Okay, let's see how many problems. How many have gone through the furnace once? Okay, very good. Everybody, I hope you've had some kind of furnace experience. Twice. Oh my gosh, I'm getting some repeats. Three times. Four. I mean major furnace burn, fire, hate, mad, get angry. Five. You were the victim five times. Five times. Six. Oh, I see it. Some of you have dropped away now. Not until the seventh are you purified. That's when you don't care anymore. You see, the seventh time, you get used to it. Oh, well. You know. You have seen God's faithfulness every single time. You know what? Everything he did to you to hurt you, or everything he did to neglect you, didn't hurt you. It only hurt your flesh. Didn't hurt your spirit. Didn't hurt your spirit, not one time. You know why? God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Perfect wife, perfect husband. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Not perfect, but perfect in the sense that it does this. Perfect for that job. I'll tell you what, all the problems in your life, best thing ever happened to you. Now, who would testify to that? Judy, you would? Say it. Just say it right out loud. All the problems in my life, I have a bunch of them, but they're all good for me. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth, no matter what. Because you know what? In your test, you know what you found out in your test? The thing that you thought was there wasn't there anyway. That's all you find out. You never had it anyway. You didn't lose anything because you never had it. You lost what you never had, which means you didn't have it, so you didn't lose it. You just find out what you're like. You don't find out what the other person's like. You only grow as through trouble. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. In the world you have trouble. All flesh hates trouble. There's nobody here that says, I like trouble. They all hate it. That's just your flesh, though. It's not your spirit. Your spirit says, troubles don't bother me because I'm spirit. Spirit doesn't burn. Spirit isn't overwhelmed. Spirit never quits. Spirit never gives up. Love is patient, kind, generous, and so on and so on. Love doesn't ever quit because it's spirit. God is spirit. That's why he's love. Only your flesh gets hurt when you go through a trouble. Never your spirit. Your spirit's purified by the same trouble that destroys the flesh. The spirit's released. Best thing ever happened for the spirit. So God, who is good, if you go through something bad, that's good. If you go through something good, that's good. Everything is good. With God, everything is good because God's good. You can just trust him without even knowing what you're talking about. You can just trust him. God, I know whatever happens to me, it's good. There's never been an evil that has happened to me that could hurt me because you're good. And if you're not good, I'm in trouble. But you are good. You see, it's actually the truth. Everything does work together, literally, for your good because you have a good God. It all goes back to God. It doesn't go to you at all. Don't think you're even in on the deal. You're just getting it as a free gift. He's just telling you, hey, just say what I say. Do what I do. Go with me. This is the best thing ever happened. All right. Anyone else? I'm going to close it. It's powerful. Always opposites attract, right? So you're going to marry somebody opposite to you. Don't marry someone like you. Marry someone that's not like you. That's how you grow. You don't grow if somebody's just like you. You grow when someone irritates, rubs against, challenges. You don't want to ever say to your wife if you're a man. If you're a man, never say to your wife, my God, woman, you're too much for me. Never say that. Always say this. It's nothing. Go for it. I'm strong. The Lord has blessed me with a good wife. But you're crazy. But you can say it to God. See, don't say it to her. Say it to God. God, the woman thou hast given me. My God, what's wrong with you? No, but don't say it to her. Just tell her, no problem. Go for it. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're like. You're perfect. Couldn't be better. That's what a woman needs to hear. You are the best. Amen? Amen. Now, we've been blessed. You didn't pick. God did. You didn't pick. You don't even know what you're doing. When have you ever made a good pick? You don't know anything. You don't know what good and evil is. Now, God, who is good, even though you choose bad every time, he'll choose good every time for you. Till after a while, you realize that your bad is so bad that you need to consider his good offer. And when you take it, you realize, wow, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right, God is good. God is great. Today was chapter 32. Oh, I forgot to read the scripture. But, you know, there you have it. It was kind of a background for it. But if you go home and read 32, you won't even understand it. So skip on to 33. Just go to 33. We'll pick it up on 33 next time. 32, I mean, you won't understand it. All right. God is good. Father God, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Because you are the only God that allows us to be us and then loves us just the way we are and then grows us up, teaches us, trains us, sends us through the fire, the affliction, the spanking, the difficulties, the problems, the furnaces, and so on. Doesn't hurt us at all. Only hurts our bad side, never hurts our good side. I thank you, Lord, that at length, when it's all said and done, after seven times going through the furnace, we will be purified and we will be just like you. To God be the glory. 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 Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. His original purpose for peace in your life. Relax, rest, enjoy yourself, be benefited. Just enjoy all the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen and amen. Love you all.